Well, as you know by now, one of the things we like to do here in the brunch is feature local businesses, particularly smaller businesses, and let them get a little bit of extra airtime and publicity. And we're going to do that just now. And we're joined by Vivian McCard. You're very welcome, Vivian.
Thank you very much.
And tell us all about your business.
Okay, well, my business is new. To start with, at Christmas time this year, I started, making some sauces, and I've actually been doing it for years, but I started to sell them at a little market. And what happened from that was I got really busy, and then things progressed, and then I got my labels sorted and different little things, and I went into Jared and McAvoy's, and he had this beautiful little craft cellar downstairs, and I thought maybe that's somewhere to start. So I got into the kitchen and started cooking, and a good friend of mine, Elaine Malloy, in the Station House Cafe in Lordship, lets me cook in there in the evening. So when they close, I go in and make some sauces.
Okay, and I've got your business card here, which looks very impressive. It's got two maple leaves on it. When we come back to that, there's obviously a reason for that.
Okay.
But it says Viv's Kraken sauces. What's okay. The Kraken from?
Well, the Kraken is because I'm kind of lively and I'm, okay, you know, a little bit Kraken crazy sometimes too. And I like to do yoga and I like to do handstands, hence the business card.
So the Kraken refers more to you than the sauce.
Probably. And then the Kraken actually, the name came from a very good friend of mine, Siobhan Fretwell. And she was actually working along with me initially. And we were kind of coming up with different names and slogans and different things. So she actually named the Kraken part of it. A lot of chili sometimes I use in different sauces, so they're Kraken.
Yeah, I think the Kraken breathed fire, didn't he, Stephen?
you've stumped me on that one, Peter. Not for the first time.
Kraken was a monster, a legendary monster.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. Like a fire-breathing monster, so...
Okay.
That maybe is,
I should have looked into that.
Everybody knew that.
Yeah. Not many
Peter's
people know that.
Peter's got some very, very interesting facts.
Okay, so it's sauces. Now, are these sauces that you use in cooking, or are they like relishes that you put on after cooking, or both? Or
a little bit of both. I've actually got... I have a little guy, his name's Owen, and he is 11 now, but when he first came, I would have made all his food organically, and I found it was quite difficult to source organic food and different products if you are to try and mm-hmm. know anything that you can't grow yourself. So I would be sourcing everything, and this is kind of where it all started. So I would be like a lunatic, freezing all this food in the freezer and trying to keep it going like this so that nothing touched his lips except for this pure organic food. Now, of course, everybody said it was crazy, mm-hmm. But in the last few years, things have progressed, and there is actually organic supermarkets now and different places that you can buy different foods like this. So really, the product that I sell, there's a Krakalakin pizza sauce or pasta sauce. This has 7 vegetables in it. I'm always listening to parents talking about not being able to get vegetables into the... I hope there's no children listening today. because they're always like, he won't eat this, he won't eat that. And I'm like, here, listen, tell him that I made him this one special. So I land up to my friends and I made up this batch of sauce, and I can't say it out loud because he'll kill me. But he said, I said, listen, Daniel, this one, it was made especially for you. And he's like, oh, thank you so much, Vivian. And he ate it, and he said it was the most beautiful sauce he ever had. Now, it had mushrooms, onions, courgettes, carrots, garlic, peppers, everything.
Where are these available now?
Well, I'm selling them at the moment down in the Craft Cellar Market. So that's downstairs in McAvoy's. So some people know it as...
McAvoy in last week.
Yeah. Are otherwise known as our back houses, maybe some people know it as. We've got a cool little market going on. We're doing it up at the moment that you can get near, to bring a little bit of a heartbeat back into the town. We're trying to liven up and paint it kind of lively colours, and we've got tons of people down there. Everybody
and
come down
you
and see us.
That, and if they want to taste it beforehand, they can.
Yes.
In the Station restaurant out at Lordship.
Well, the Station House is holding the product and selling it there, but I am on the stand Thursday, Friday, Saturday at the moment because I cook then most of the evenings. So I have all the samples there. People can come in and taste everything before they buy. I'm also making homemade salsas, homemade hummus. So I make some fresh products as well, and we'll be introducing more to the line. But there's maybe 10 products at the moment. So a lot of it is to be used with a cheese board. Some people use it with pulled pork, like wraps. You can really, once you taste it, it's kind of Mm-hmm. You can cook it, you can cook with it, you can put it on like, you know, your pork ribs in the oven, stew them for an hour and a half, and then pour the barbecue sauce on and let them get nice and sticky.
Could I ask you, do you make cheesecakes? Because the reason I asked that was because the first place I ever tasted cheesecake...
Where did that come from, Peter?
Well, the first place I ever tasted cheesecake was in Canada.
Well...
I never tasted before.
I do make cheesecake, but I don't have it on the stand, and I don't have any in my bag.
So maybe Peter will commission you to make one just for him.
I can make you a beautiful Maltesers cheesecake.
No. Yeah. All right.
You're
just
thinking more than original.
Clear, you actually, do you do the cooking out in the Railway Village place?
I do the cooking in the Station House Cafe,
yeah,
which is out in Lordship. It's a new cafe out by the port, by the park. It's by the railway, yes.
Congratulations, St. Patrick's. They're most enlightened of the GAA clubs. They really have made a wonderful mark. No, but they've made a wonderful mark. I'm sure you noticed that.
Yes.
Just beside there.
I've never been in it. It looks like a sort of a log cabin type effect.
It's just beautiful. It's really nice. It's a log cabin with a little potbelly stove, nice little tables, beautifully renovated. It's absolutely really worth it.
And of course, ideal for children because the swings and everything are for free there.
Yeah.
So they can be.
The park was fundraised for it.
They can burn off steam while you're relaxing.
Right. Well, you can sit and have your coffee to give you enough energy to go the afternoon.
Nice
and the food is absolutely beautiful, like it really is. Now.
Well, I think those who've been listening will have picked up from your accent that the maple leaves are not accidental. There's a Canadian accent.
Well, it's funny. My accent is all over the place. But yes, I'm born Canadian with Irish descent. So my mum is from Giles's Quay and my dad is from Ravensdale, Pauleek.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's about as local as we can get.
That's about as local. And every single relative that I have is Irish. So that makes me Canadian. Right? No.
And one of your hobbies is scuba diving or something like that.
Yes, I really like the scuba as well. So I actually went off there a couple of years ago. I came back last May. So maybe 2 years ago I headed to Thailand. Me and my little guy as well. And I did my open water before I went out. And then I just decided that I want to become an instructor. So a year and a half later, I got back May last year. And now I have I'm a scuba instructor with 8 specialities. And I'm taking a group to Thailand in November for 3 weeks. So I have a couple of Aussies going, a few Canadians, and a couple of crazy Irish dudes.
Have you ever scuba dived at Giles Quay?
No, but I did jump into the sea on March 3rd for a fundraiser in Carlingford, and I am never doing that again.
You can say been there, done that.
I've done it, and
off the list.
We've done swimming. We've done lots of little fundraisers, two down in Giles's Quay, two jumping in, but it's freezing. Yeah. I think I prefer the warm weather.
Getting back to the sauces. Water. Not getting you to give away any of the magic ingredients, but are these recipes that you've devised yourself? Are they family recipes? Are they traditional Canadian or mixture of
all? It's funny because it's not until I see it on my Facebook, you know, friends from Canada going, oh, are you still making that barbecue sauce? And I'm like, yeah. And it's been going on for years. I'm not one for store-bought products, you know, like off the shelf. So I've always kind of liked to use a fresh ingredient because I just think the flavor comes through better and it's more healthy and everybody's happier. So probably from my own background, mom cooked cabbage for 4 hours, you know, like everybody else's Irish mummy. Dad would have been better on the barbecue. So I don't know where it stemmed from, but I've just always had a love for cooking. So yeah, it's all about the product being as fresh as it can be. And then a Canadian kind of way is to can products, your own products. So over there, we could go to like farmers markets, big farmers markets, and buy maybe 10 boxes of tomatoes and take them home. And then you would process them yourself. So you would actually can them, and you would never go to the supermarket to buy tomatoes.
It's like in a sealed jar.
A sealed jar. It's a process that we use. It's a water bath process. It's a big job. Like I would have to, like people wonder where the prices come from. Like I would handle one jar maybe 6-7 times before I actually don't have to, before I can hand it to Peter and charge him $4.95. So, you know, it's like, not that it's very well worth it, Peter. But it's a process. You get the jars in. They have to be washed, sterilized, dried. Mm-hmm. Then you pour your sauce in, and the jar has to stay at a certain temperature. You put your sauce in, and then you have to wipe along the tops of the edge so there's nothing on it. You have to heat the lids, then seal it, then back into a water bath for a certain amount of time. Can't tell you any of my secrets, otherwise everybody will be doing it.
I think, but it's if quite that's a lot. Long and involved, I think you'd be safe enough.
It's a lot. I don't think anybody's going to do it.
The men certainly will be doing
like
it.
People look at me and they're
I ask you, do you use rice in your cooking?
I don't use any rice at the moment. No, I'll tell you what some of the names are. And I also have to tell you about the little positive note that I put on all my jars. If you want me to.
Sure.
I have no problem talking. That's funny. Okay, so there's no rice in any of the products that I'm using right now. I do blend porridges as well. So I do a blended organic oat with nuts and seeds. That's mm-hmm. very good for us. So some of the products are like crack-a-lac and pasta sauce. So that's, you know, there's no gluten, no... I am working with a nutritionalist at the moment who is going to do up my labels as far as nutritional advice. So I don't know exactly. You can't put it on the label if you don't know for sure. So mm-hmm. I'm getting different...
Yeah, apart from McAvoy's and the Jack's Tea, have you any other outlets? Because you hear these stories about people inventing something and get it going worldwide of nobody.
Well, the thing about this product as well is that it's, you know, it's a batch of maybe 20. And I think, like, everything is hand cut. I don't use a food processor anywhere. So every single item there is touched by a knife. I think
it's
important.
Is that because you can't get a food processor to do it exactly the way you want
it?
Well,
if you can find me one, I will be very happy. I think it would be the best. But really, an onion, a pepper, and a tomato, unless it's cut really sharp, it gets slimy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and kind of in the jar, you notice it in different relishes, you know, mm-hmm. I think. So it's important that I hand cut everything.
Yeah, there's nothing sexist about your food. You'd let men... because you know that in Japan, that they don't allow sushi cooks to be women.
Okay, yes, there's different things like this. Yes, well, I'm very sexist. I would let any guy cut my vegetables if they want to.
There's a
Peter,
job for you, Peter.
If you're volunteering to come in maybe Tuesday at the station, hustle me
you
at
get
six.
A cheesecake.
I'll get you a cheesecake, yeah. Right. I need 10 peppers an hour.
For a cheesecake.
I'll keep you out of mischief.
Well, that's my bartering.
But as far as ingredients and stuff, there's a red onion type... I should have brought you guys some bits and pieces in. You could taste it. Red onion, red wine, balsamic vinegar, and brown sugar. The process takes about 6 hours. So that's the cook. Mm-hmm. The cook takes that long. So it's not everybody's kettle of fish. But no,
it's
just
not
needs
fast food anyway.
It's definitely not fast food. The barbecue sauce, you know, there's a barbecue red pepper relish. So all of these are married lovely with a cheese board. Any sort of meat, any type of meat.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a bunch of different ranges. Pasta and pizza.
Can I just say, you've come a long way from your bacon and cabbage with your mother.
Yes, and my, yeah,
did
definitely.
Like
I love bacon and cabbage, yeah.
At least you know what's in it.
Just talking to you.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah, well, you definitely know what's in it, but it doesn't look like cabbage when it's finished, you know? It could be anything, really. It could be mushy peas.
So you use local products?
I do. I get most of my products out of Fife's here in Dundalk. And I have some really awesome customers that bring me in rhubarb and onions and different bits and pieces
like this.
That they grow themselves, yeah. Yes. So I am trying to source. I would love for somebody to contact me that could source me organic peppers.
Okay.
They're very hard to grow, peppers, you're aware of.
Yeah, I've tried. Yeah. I had a greenhouse. I grow really good tomatoes. I grow everything, but peppers was a hard one for me.
Eamon, of course, is a growing expert.
Are you the growing expert?
Yeah. I grow tomatoes, yeah.
Lovely. Well, I'm a pretty good tomato grower as well.
Try peppers now and you've got to market straight away.
Yeah, I'll take every pepper you have.
Question about the differences that you've noticed, say, culturally, or even in terms of cooking and eating and between Canada and here. What were the things that struck you coming back here?
Well, this is kind of funny because I think food in Ireland has come immensely, massively, a long, long way in the last 10, 15 years.
Right.
But when I first came over, I remember I worked in this little cafe called the Chestnut Cafe in Dundalk.
Still there?
Yeah, it is. Mm. And I mean, I was only there for like 2.5 days because I couldn't understand anybody because I was very Canadian at the time. And people would be like, sure, throw me some potato salad and coleslaw onto that sandwich. And I'd be like, you want it on the bread? And they're like, yes, where the heck do you think I want it? And I'm like, you don't want it on the side? And they're like, no, geez, you know. So everything I was doing was like, and you want that on the side? And they're like, you know, and they were, sorry. They were you know, they were giving me bad language, and I was like, oh God, I don't think I'm going to get it here, you know. Yeah. So I lasted for 2.5 days. I used to take the bus in from Giles's Quay and take the bus home. Nice. But it was very funny. So that was kind of, so if I ordered a salad in Canada, it would be, you know, a green salad, maybe a leafy salad with red onion and different stuff. And when I ordered salad here, it was all potato salad, coleslaw, maybe an egg mayo. You know, it was quite a much heavier. Yeah. So I put on lots of weight. But it was lovely, beautiful. But still, I didn't last in my job at the Chess. No, but thank you. Yeah. Back then,
you have to start somewhere.
Sorry.
No, you're just saying you have to start somewhere. You're way over there. You have to come into the mic. Yeah.
Tell us about the organic. You seem to be very conscious that you need to cook healthy food.
Well, it really, I mean, what is organic? Like, really, nowadays, everything is genetically modified. There's different things going on with the food that we don't even know, even if it says organic. You know, it's, I think the biggest thing is for people just to get back into their own back garden and do as much as what they can themselves. And I think if you know, your pricing, your costs are going to go down, you're not spending so much money on groceries, and people are, and slow it down a little bit and just get back into the way that it used to be. Because that bacon and cabbage really, you know, didn't do me any harm. But to a natural food, everybody's working, people are busy. Mom and dads are busy. There's no time for this. The kids don't even know what a tomato looks like. You know, like I had some little guys come into the greenhouse and I'm like, here, eat this. And they're like, no, what is it? And I'm like, it's a little cherry tomato. And they're like,
Well, I grow my own, but I can go into Little there and I can buy vegetables for an extra.
Well, that's the problem, if
and
you like.
You say, well, you're just an Egypt. Yeah. Well, I'm not, you know, I love it.
But it's
love
a hobby. You got,
But like vegetables are very cheap. Mm. You know.
Maybe they are, but as well. Oh, I don't know. You get something out of doing it yourself as well. Mm-hmm. And I think the flavour, it doesn't matter what you buy anywhere. I shop in Aldi, Little, I shop everywhere. When you grow it yourself, whether it's the same as somebody cooking you a meal and handing it to you, it just tastes better.
Yeah, but the best thing is, like myself, concentrate on something that grows itself with no effort. Rhubarb.
Rhubarb. Super. I have a guy bringing me in some rhubarb next week, which is super as well.
I eat all mine.
Yeah, good. And you look very healthy.
Well, apart from that,
I must admit, I've never been to Canada, but I've been to the States quite a lot. And one of the things that surprises me is things that they, you know, we would take for granted here that they've never had, or hardly ever had, like, say, rhubarb.
Yes.
You know.
Yeah. Let me think. Berries is pretty big over there. Yeah, rhubarb, they're probably, I mean, apples, orchards, peaches, you know, there's, you can still get all this type of thing.
The blueberry, I recall in Canada, everybody had blueberry pie and that sort of
blueberry
stuff.
Blueberry pie, yes, that's a big
one.
But
we don't, well, it's probably you can buy it, I think, in local supermarkets.
Funny.
I mean, it is, as you said, it's changing. I mean, if you go into any of the stores now, there are a vast range of things from different parts of the country.
And the world.
Or parts of the world, I mean.
Yeah, and avocados.
Curiosity,
and
maple syrup. How is that made?
Oh, I can't believe you asked me that. Why I happen to be an expert? No, I'm not.
No, it's just...
But it's maple. It obviously comes from a maple tree.
That's right.
And I would imagine, like, in Thailand, I've seen them making gum from a gum tree. Mm. So I've never seen them make maple syrup, but they... It's a resin of the tree, I would imagine.
You'll have to go back and Wikipedia.
But it's beautiful, isn't it?
Yeah,
and
lovely.
It is very tasty. Yeah. But the gum isn't so tasty. And it smells as well. But
By the way, one of the things that I remember about Canada way back in the early 70s was the first place I saw was a hypermarket. Was that part of the Canada? You lived in a hypermarket?
In 1970. Yes. So without giving away my age, I have absolutely
no
recollection of that.
No, but I'm seeing this.
Actually, 1970, just a guess at the Peter.
The question is, do they still exist?
Hypermarkets are just bigger than supermarkets. It's as simple as that.
They're so big that you had to get a little trolley to take
you. That's right, and a map to get out of it.
Well, now
people have helicopters to take you.
To take you going, yes. Well, in Ireland's boomed, no? Like, there's these massive big hyper shopping malls and things like this. I think Bangkok's a good place for that sort of thing. I don't remember Vancouver having, or, you know, massive... But then I wasn't born yet.
Yeah, exactly.
We'll go with that.
Yeah, we're actually lucky, really.
Yeah, I was still in Ireland.
Like, when poor old Eamon was growing up, he was given spuds in the morning and that was it.
Morning, noon and
red
night.
Hairy
and of course, they plundered their neighbours. geese and roasted them.
That's how you knew if it was organic back then. There was still a few hairs.
There's a great story about a goose which we
on this note of unrestrained frivolity, we'll go to an ad break and we'll be back with you at Seen and Heard after.